don't know her story. Well, I don't even know her story.
Rebecca Skloot writes, one scientist estimates if you could pile all HeLa cells ever grown onto a scale, they'd weigh more than 50 million metric tons, an inconceivable number, given that an individual cell weighs almost nothing. Another scientist calculated if you could lay all HeLa cells ever grown end to end, they'd wrap around the Earth at least three times, spanning more than 350 million feet. In her prime, Henrietta herself stood only a bit over 5 feet tall. Jerry Laxwai, as we wrap up, we just have 10 seconds. How proud are you of your grandmother?
Oh, words can't describe how proud I am of my grandmother. I mean, just knowing her story and what she has done, not just for a certain group or she just did so much for the world. And I'm just so proud that I had the chance, or I'm getting the chance, to know my grandmother, to know her contributions, and to actually go out and advocate and
bring
awareness
to her. We're going to have to leave it
there.
Jerry Laxwai, I want to thank you so much. And we'll continue part two with Rebecca Skloot, The Immortal Life of Henrietta Lacks. I'm Amy Goodman.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views and opinions expressed on the new WHFR Journal are those of the hosts, producers, and guests, not necessarily those of WHFR, its licensee, Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees. Enjoy! Good afternoon and welcome to the WHFR Journal here at 89.3, also online at WHFR.fm, where we are always making waves, the radio voice of Henry Ford College. I'm Alan Mazurek in for the program this afternoon here on the station, and we have a pre-recorded version and sort of a new venture for us here at WHFR and also at Henry Ford College, where we are going to be welcoming in a group of students to be the moderators of the discussion that we will be holding here on the program. And it's something that I think is sort of a natural fit. Part of my duties here as an adjunct faculty member at Henry Ford College and also working here at WHFR is to work in our broadcast journalism area, where I teach a class. And on Tuesday mornings, we welcome in students to bring you a weekly newscast. But we also have this other group of journalists that also do some great work here on the campus of HFC. And those are our friends and colleagues over at the Mirror News, our student newspaper publication. And it's seemed sort of like a natural fit to give them an opportunity to have some time on the air to go through and explain some of the stories that appear in the versions of the Mirror News that is available for students, faculty, and community members who happen to be here on the campus of HFC. So that is going to be what we're going to do on the program today. Now, I have to admit that the segments that we're going to be broadcasting were pre-recorded. And when you hear me speak after our break and at the introduction of the other segments, I'm going to mention that I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. As it turns out, as we get close to our broadcast date of the program, Susan McGraw is under the weather, so I hope you understand that that part was pre-recorded. We didn't have enough time to be able to edit it out in order to make it seamless to you, but we wanted to be transparent. So if I said I'm Alan Mazurek along with Susan McGraw, and you don't hear Susan's voice for the entire hour, now you understand why. So anyway, we thought this would be a great opportunity, again, to let students who are still learning and perfecting, you know, their craft, which, again, is journalism and presenting community issues, to bring those issues to your attention and present them with their own voice. So that's what we're going to do on today's edition of the WHFR Journal. I do hope you'll stick around. We've got a great discussion up ahead. It's going to include a lot of different topics that, if you've been on campus, you might have seen in the Mirror News, talking about things like the gerrymandering proposal, other proposals that are are going to be on the ballot. Sports and other issues that artistic issues that are taking place in and around the community. So we're going to take just a little short break, and then we'll be back and start the show in earnest. Thanks for being with us. I'm Alan Mazurek. Not with Susan McGraw today. But anyway, it's still the WHFR Journal here at 89.3. Do stick around.
Hey, all you loyal listeners. Be sure to check out WHFR's Big Bad Blues Bash fundraiser happening Saturday, October 13th at PJ's Lager House in Detroit from 8 p.m. to 12 a.m. featuring three of the hottest blues bands around. Appearing live will be Big B and the Actual Proof, Bull Halsey, and the Boa Constrictors. These are three groups that you will not want to miss. All we ask is that you be 21 or above, and for a $5 donation to our wonderful station. That's WHFR's Big Bad Blues Bash Saturday, October 13th at PJ's Lager House. Be there!
It's the WHFR Journal here at 89.3, also online at WHFR.fm. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw, and as we mentioned at the start of the program, we are embarking upon a new endeavor on our program today, where we welcome in our friends and colleagues from Henry Ford College's Mirror News, also journalists who are looking at stories that are important to our campus community and to the surrounding communities as well. And we look forward to hearing what they have to say about things that are important in their lives, news and opinions of things going on. It's a segment that we are calling Mirror News Now. And to help introduce it and start us off on this voyage, we welcome in Justin Randles, who is the creative editor for the Mirror News here at Henry Ford College.
Thank you. This is Justin Randles. I'm here with Elias Perry, Fatima Nakata, and Josh Bear, and we're going to be going over stories from this month's issue of the Mirror News. And the first story, which is the cover story, was written by me. It was about the Midwest Cannabis Cup, which the Cannabis Cup is like a celebration and also an award ceremony for Michigan growers and business entrepreneurs in the cannabis field. They award things in categories like best sativa, best indica, best hybrid, best concentrates, best edibles, and best cannabidiol only products, which is CBD. If you don't know anything about CBD, CBD is the element of cannabis that helps a lot of medicinal things, but doesn't make the user feel stoned. So it's got a lot of attention from the medical community. I went to the show and, It was exciting. Really, one big aspect of the show is a lot of people selling their products, selling their different, whatever. There was all kinds of stuff sold there, like fake nuggets that you wore on a necklace, and you could buy weed there, and they were giving stuff away. There was a little bit of like activism, but not as much as I was expecting. That's where I was a little disappointed. But I did, I was able, I have a funny story from it. I was watching, before I went, I had arranged to get a media pit pass, which, if you've ever been to a concert, the media pit is that small little area between the stage and the gates, keeping off the adoring fans. So I had gotten this media pass, and I'd went in there a couple of times for the lesser known shows, Trick Daddy, and I can't remember the other guy's name. It doesn't matter. But later I went to the Nas show, and I kind of knew I wasn't supposed to be back there, but I was going to go anyways because I had the media pit pass. So I got in there, and I'm like down on my knees. I'm taking these like energetic photos. I thought I was like, I don't know, some famous photographer. And I feel like this quick tap on my shoulder, but I was like zoned in, man. And so I kind of ignored the tap. And the next thing I know, like the hand grips my shoulder, just one hand. And I'm a big guy. I'm 6 foot, 225 pounds, give or take. And he lifts me up. Like, I mean, my knees and my legs were working because they had to, but he like lifts me up with just one big bear claw and like drags me out of there. And he was nice about it. He was like, "What are you doing here?" And I was like, "Well, I got this media pit pass," and I'm all like scared. I'm like, "I got this media pit pass. Please don't put me in weed jail or whatever, you know?" And he's like, "No, you just can't be back here for that." So that was kind of fun. Trick shot a video there. For a new song he's got coming out called Green Marijuana, which when it does come out in the video, I should be like in it a lot because I was right up front. There was a lot of talk. There was a little bit of talk from the editors, creative editors and editors from the High Times magazine, which if you're not familiar with is like the leading cannabis magazine for years and years and years, which they've always been a proponent for legalization. Which we'll talk about later with Prop 1 coming up. So now, I don't know. What do you guys, did you guys have any questions about?
What exactly were you expecting to see? You say that the activism that was there is not what you were expecting. What were you expecting?
Well, you know, we have, next month, we're voting for legalization here in Michigan. And you would think of all places where you would probably be beat to death with Prop 1 propositions, I guess, or like selling would be here, but it was like non-existent. It was like, it was kind of like they just maybe because you had to have your medicinal marijuana card to be there. Maybe everybody just assumed that they didn't really need to rep the proposal one or just talk about the, like, I would have liked to see a little bit more in because the problem that we're running in with marijuana, especially with the medicinal aspect, which is the only way you can smoke it legally now, is people will come up with any old reason to get a medicinal marijuana card just to get stoned. But there really is so much supporting scientific evidence that cannabis can be good for you for certain things. Like myself, I struggled with PTSD a lot for a long time. And 2 years ago, I got my cannabis card. That's really the first time I smoked since high school. And it's completely changed my life.
You were smoking in high school.
Well, yeah, I did. I mean, I feel like every high school kid smokes in high school. But I did smoke once or twice in high school. But it wasn't like... and I wouldn't say I'm like this stoner now. I don't like walk around with a cloud around my head. I think I smoke responsibly. And heck, if I wanted to smoke like a stoner, I could because it's... I don't know.
It's your card, yeah.
Yeah, and every day doctors are writing prescriptions for drugs that are literal poison in pill forms that cause addiction and so on. But I could go on this rant for literally hours. Let's not do that. Let's not make it all about cannabis.
So, like, you had that pit pass to be there with the other photographers and other reporters, right?
Yeah.
What? If you couldn't be there to actually record or photograph the talent, what could you do?
Well, it was just because it was Nas, and Nas apparently had his own photographers there. And I think when some of these artists sign on, they probably have deals worked out. I think that they just didn't want me shooting pictures of Nas, so I couldn't use those pictures. I probably could have, but I decided not to because that hand really scared me. Sometimes I have nightmares about that hand gripping up my shoulder.
Yeah. I think it is part of their contract sometimes that nobody should take pictures of them except their own photographers. So,
exactly, because then they can control what pictures are
shared.
You
don't want to take compromising pictures.
Yeah, like, you don't want to look ugly on Facebook. I mean, well, some people want to look
ugly
on Facebook.
Considering that it was the weed cup, so you don't want to take pictures they don't want to be out there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I think the artists that performed at the Midwest Cannabis Cup are probably pretty comfortable with being cannabis users.
Yeah.
I mean, for Trick's part of when he was shooting the video, it was really cool. He had these two young men, I'm talking like 18, maybe, and they sat on stage while he performed and literally just rolled blunt after blunt after blunt. And then he would pass them out to like his crew, and the crew would light him up, take a few hits off, and then they would pass them out to the audience. And so like now like there's this cool thing that's happening. Because, and even if you go to the best dispensary in the state and you're choosing the weed from the highest shelf, the best, you're still not getting rapper quality weed. And at this show, we were able to get rapper quality weed for free.
You tried some of it?
Oh, yeah. Everybody. There was, at one point in time, there must have been 15 or 20 massive blunts passing around the audience. It was a really cool experience. And I personally, I like Trick Trick because he's a Michigan-made guy.
Yeah.
He also gives back to the community. And, of course, I'm a huge Eminem fan, so everybody that's cool with Eminem is cool with me. And so now we are going to talk about
some of the policies that are surrounding marijuana, because I don't know if you know or not, but this November, November 6th, Election Day, there's three different proposals that are on the ballot, one of which is the legalization of marijuana. Now, if you live in Detroit, Ann Arbor, Flint, Grand Rapids, you may already know that weed has been decriminalized in some areas of Michigan, but that's not the same thing as legalized. It just means that instead of going to prison for smoking weed, you'll get a fine. I think in Ann Arbor, it's somewhere like $20 or maybe $40. I don't know the exact number behind that. But if Prop 1 passes, then adults over the age of 21, just like with alcohol, will have the ability to buy and smoke marijuana legally.
Also grow.
And grow, yeah. 12 plants per household. Like Justin said in his piece on the Cannabis Cup, marijuana is already legal for medicinal use, so you can have a card. With this, as long as you're 21, just like with alcohol, you'll be able to go into a dispensary and buy whatever you want, really. Now, like with every other commodity, there will be a state tax on this on the sale of marijuana. There'll be a 10% tax, which Justin will go into this a little bit more. But they're planning on giving the money towards things like veterans, infrastructure on roads and bridges, local governments. So that's more of the on the city level.
Yeah.
And also the big one, K-12 education, so hopefully be another income source for our state students.
Yeah, and I think in like 2 years is when. So for the first 2 years, it's broken down into two taxes. There's the 6% sales tax that goes to the state, and then there's a 10%. I don't remember what it's called tax, but it's like you want to get high tax, maybe, I don't know. But so that tax for the first 2 years is going to fund studies for veterans, PTSD, and cannabis use, which is a topic near and dear to my heart. But yeah, that's.
Yeah.
Elias, you did say that in Ann Arbor it's decriminalized.
Yes, as long as.
I thought it was in Washtenaw County, it was actually legal, because in Ann Arbor every year, they do have a big thing for 420.
Well, I think, much like with the Cannabis Cup, a lot of that is for people who have their cards.
Okay.
There are a lot of dispensaries around the campus, even for U of Ann Arbor. Those dispensaries, of course, you need to have your
card, your
medical card to buy from there. But if you're caught smoking and you don't have a card, you will get fined.
Okay.
You're not going to go, like, there's no, same thing with, like I said, Flint, Grand Rapids, and Detroit.
Detroit's a big one. Opening day, perfect example. Big party right outside of Comerica Park.
Yeah.
Saw like 4 or 5 blunts being passed around out there. So. Yeah, cops really didn't give much in that big group.
Like I said before, the proposal hopes to get the age of to be able to purchase and use marijuana to 21. The group actually advocating for it is the Coalition to Regulate Marijuana Like Alcohol, which is a pretty self-explanatory mission statement for what they're trying to do. But of course, that's not the only thing that's going to be on the ballot this November. Prop 2 is another really, really big one, end Michigan's gerrymandering.
And what is gerrymandering?
I'm glad you asked. So gerrymandering is when, so I'll actually focus on Michigan. In Michigan, the state legislature are allowed to redistrict our voting district. So those are, if you have to, for you vote for your for the House of Representatives, state Congress, other district level positions, all of those districts that you actually go to vote for the candidate are able to be redrawn by the state legislature. So what that means is the state legislature, who are voted officials, people that have very partisan interests in mind, are able to pick and choose who gets to be in what district, so they can basically rig the election.
Doesn't gerrymandering, the kerfuffle behind it is like they reshape it so that it makes it troublesome for a voter to vote, like they have to go farther?
They'll
probably reshape it to work in their favor.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to do with where you, in some cases, like here in Dearborn shares the same voting district with Ann Arbor. How that makes sense, it doesn't. But if you're in Ann Arbor and you have to drive out to here, I guess that could be a problem. But really the point is, you pick and choose the people who are voting in the district. So if they have a Republican-leaning opinion, they're going to vote Republican. Democratic-leaning opinion, they're going to vote Democrat. So you take all those people and you organize the district so that a majority of people in the district are Republicans. Okay. Or in some cases, what they'll do is they'll shape it so that most of the districts are Republican, maybe by a tighter margin, but still pretty solidly Republican. But then there'll be like a couple that are hardcore Democratic.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because they just group all the Democrats into one district, so that way it's harder for Democrats to get their representation. Now, I want to point out very specifically that the reason why I'm using Republican and Democrat in those specific contexts with the Republicans in control is because that is the way it is here in Michigan. Now, that is not the case across the country universally. There are states that Democrats have gerrymandered for themselves. But since this proposal is specific to Michigan, that's just how it is.
Yeah.
Michigan legislature is controlled by Republicans. There have been a number of studies, including one by the Princeton Gerrymandering Project, that have found that Michigan is significantly partisan gerrymandered. If you want numbers for that, the Democrats won more than 50% of the vote in the last election for local seats. But for the House of Representatives, they got 5 out of the 14.
Wow.
So that's 2 less seats than they really should have. Now, with this proposal, what they seek to do is to get that power to redistrict the voting districts, to take that away from the state legislature and to hand it over to an independent committee. Now, that independent committee, to make things fair, will be made up of 5 independents, 4 Democrats, and 4 Republicans. Wow. Now, those are not people who hold position, people who are in the government. Those are everyday citizens.
So they have no political
affiliation.
Chicken in the fight, I guess.
They may have their own opinions.
Yeah.
And they're going to be registered Democrats, registered Republicans, or and the people who aren't, those 5 people who are independents, won't be. But they will. There's a stipulation in it that says that you or someone you're close to, as in immediate family, cannot have run for office within, I think it's a 6-year period.
Okay.
Now that's being nominated, getting the position, whatever. Even if you didn't win the election, you still cannot be on that board until that 6 years is up.
Okay.
And if that passes, then hopefully that'll give the citizens of Michigan another tool in their arsenal to actually be able to get involved in our democracy. That's one of the biggest criticisms of American politics, especially local politics, is that no one feels like their votes matter. If you feel like your vote doesn't matter, then this might be something that you want to look into. And more about your vote not mattering, Proposal 3 hopes to target a lot of those problems directly. With Proposal 3, one of the most hassle-hasslesome and tiresome parts of voting is getting registered to vote. Mm-hmm. With Proposal 3, if you file for a new driver's license, you update your driver's license, you get it for the first time, as long as you aren't a felon and you meet all the requirements, you're a citizen, then you will be registered to vote automatically.
It should be that easy.
It should be that easy, shouldn't it?
Don't you think that felons should be allowed to vote, though?
Totally.
Like, that's maybe that, not violent that, criminals or something.
Well,
but,
that's something that Ford is
maybe
trying to deal with right
now.
Maybe not
people who have murdered somebody.
Yeah, but they're but, most likely still in prison.
Yeah.
We're talking like...
Yeah.
Like, felons that get released can't vote, right?
Yeah.
Like,
no.
Isn't the whole idea of the prison system rehabilitation? That's what it's supposed to be. So if you're rehabilitated and you're being told that you cannot be part of...
society this, because you can't vote.
You've given up your right by committing... those crimes. It's kind of like, it's a catch-22 there.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you know anyone who lives in Florida, or if you yourself live in Florida and are just tuning in as you're driving up through Michigan, that's a big problem. That's a big hot-button issue for Florida right now is Florida voters are voting on whether or not they should be allowed, whether or not felons should be allowed to vote after coming out of the prison system. I believe if given the right to vote, it'll add 1.4 million new voters to Florida's voting group. so, I mean, it's a serious, serious problem. But also, with voter registration in Prop 3, if you are have been trying to get registered to vote, you'll know that Tuesday, October 9th was the last day that you were able to register to vote and still be able to vote in the November 6th elections. Michigan, for some reason, feels it necessary to have a 30-day gap between when the last day you're allowed to register to vote and when you can vote. If you register anytime within that 30-day period before the actual elections, you cannot vote. With Prop 3... Yeah.
So anybody that's registering right now...
It's too late. You can't vote in this election.
For one of probably arguably one of the most important elections.
Sure.
Especially most important midterm election.
Definitely.
We've had in our entire life.
And going on top of that, I saw something this morning as I was scrolling through Facebook where there's some places, North Dakota doesn't stop voter registration for this election, and there's other places that you can register the day of voting and still be allowed to vote.
Yep, it's a thing that differs between state to state, but with this proposal 3 goes through, then same day registration will be allowed in the state of Michigan. You'll just have to have a proof of residency. That's the only thing that's required to register within those 30 days is to have a proof of residency. If you bring that and all the other required documents, then you will be able to register to vote there on election day for the next elections.
So voting yes on all three proposals, and this is just my opinion or my idea, would be basically awarding us all three times more of the freedoms, right?
Pretty much.
Or access to freedom anyways, I suppose.
Yeah, because of course with... the issue of gerrymandering and voter registration, those don't solve any problems by themselves. It just allows you as the voter to do more to actually take part in our government.
Yeah.
Now, if you are in the Dearborn area and you'd like to know more or see how you can get involved, on October 19th, here at the Henry Ford campus, the Michigan Democracy Institute, in association with the League of Women Voters, the League of Women Voters, in association with the Democracy Institute, it is a League of Women Voters event, are hosting their 15th annual Michigan Student Political Issues Convention. Now, there, students from the area and outside of the area, if you want to come in too, that's fine too. If you're not a student, come in as well to at least take part in it and hear the voices of students in our area. We'll get together and we'll actually talk with politicians in our districts. We'll be able to talk about the issues that matter to us and how we can have tangible, realistic goals for achieving what we want. And with politicians who represent us there at that event, it'll be the perfect opportunity to hear our voices heard.
Awesome. And is there, like, that event, is there some, any names you can give out? Like to...
Debbie Dingell, okay. Rashida Tlaib will be there as well. Those are the two that I know will most likely be there. There's a number of other local politicians who will be in attendance that I cannot name at off the top of my head at the moment, but it'll be a very good opportunity for students to get involved in our democracy and see how it can actually help us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to go to Fatima, who's going to talk about Jessica Del Alfonso's story, Lost and Found.
Yeah, from history in the making with Prop 1, 2, and 3 to actual history. Now, as a non-native Detroiter, the one reason that I was drawn to this area is because Detroit is a cultural hub. I was attracted to the rich tapestry of arts and culture that is synonymous with the city of Detroit. Now, in that light, currently on exhibition at the DIA is a collection called Lost and Found. Now, this collection is drawn from the DIA's own private collection, as well as private collections from people all across the United States. What's interesting about these photographs is they are found photographs. Now, okay. What found photographs are is they're accidental art forms. It's something that you probably have in your attic or your grandmother left you. You didn't know it was art, and it has been found and rediscovered. It's usually by unknown artists or little known artists.
Right, right.
Yeah, so there's a bunch of these pictures that are being shown at the DIA, and it's going to run until March next year. I've seen quite a few pictures that are, I think, are really interesting. I haven't been to see the show itself, mm-hmm. but from what Jessica collected, I think this is something that everyone should go see. That there's several layers of depth to what they are showing.
Yeah.
The one thing that I found particularly interesting are the pictures that come from a collection called Photographs That Empower. Mm-hmm. And basically what these pictures are doing is they're challenging the narrative of African-Americans in the Detroit area. So basically from the negative portrayal of what your African-American person from 1800s, actually 1860s to 1980, they are challenging all the negative portrayals of African-Americans in the city of Detroit. Like you see pictures of a couple just sitting on a bench in the park and kissing or, okay. you know, things like that. I like that. Gives me a good vibe. I don't know if you guys have seen that.
No, I didn't see that, but it seems very interesting. The idea of taking the common narrative of aggressive or destructive African-American communities, especially in Detroit, and showing the truth behind how we're all just the same, you know?
Yeah, like, yeah,
exactly. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's pictures that just capture moments that are lost forever in Detroit, except in those pictures. There's a picture of a lady and her dog sitting by a car. There's pictures of storefronts that don't exist anymore. There's pictures of buildings that have now been torn down. It's kind of like looking back at the glory days of Detroit.
And what I found interesting about this piece is, like, the photos are not, like, these are just people. These are, like, family photos that got lost, sold. People found them in garage sales, at flea markets. These aren't people that were posing for pictures to be shown. This is real stuff here.
It's real life. It's not staged at all.
Yeah, and that's what I really...
It captures really cool. the true essence of Detroit. For me, I haven't been here long. I've only been here 3 years. Looking at these pictures, I'm there.
Yeah,
I'm starting to understand why Detroit is what Detroit is.
Why people are like, why we rep Detroit the way we do.
It's not just the faces of the people. It's the architecture. Yeah. It's, you know, streets that look totally different right now.
Yeah.
You know?
Going back to what you're saying, though, with the different storefronts that aren't there anymore or the buildings that have been torn down, Detroit, though, is coming back in that renaissance that we have all seen growing in front of our eyes, starting with the downtown area, going out into Corktown and into the surrounding areas. the jobs coming back to the city of Detroit. There's new buildings and things being put up. I know Shinola's mm-hmm. building a new hotel downtown mm-hmm. that is supposed to be pretty nice once it's complete.
Yeah, you have the this time when our future is right ahead of us. It's nice to look back at the past.
Mm-hmm. It's always nice to do that and to have these pictures as a reference point. Like, oh, this is where we're coming from. When I first got here, I drove around downtown. My brother said, don't go there, but I went there alone. And it really hurt me to see all those buildings have been abandoned. And I'm like, is this the Detroit I was reading about? But then having these pictures as a reference point and then going back to what you say, that it's all coming back. I do hope that we can get ourselves back to this space. It's a happy time. It doesn't show all the negative side of things that, you know, you get to hear as a stranger to the city.
I think on the inside of Detroit, this is mm-hmm. still Detroit.
Yeah.
Detroit is family. Yeah. Detroit is friends. Detroit exactly. is love. But from the outside, the media perspective of Detroit exactly. is dirty. But, you know, that's mm-hmm. that's what we're here as journalists
yeah.
to do.
Yeah,
to
looking at these pictures, I see that. It's family. There's a whole lot. There's a lot more to it than what we read when we're out there.
Yeah.
One last thing on that. You look at how downtown Chicago is, and you look at downtown Detroit, and downtown Detroit is starting to rival what you see going on in downtown Chicago.
It really
and even
is.
In the suburbs of Chicago with Wrigleyville, you can see that in Corktown here in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
It's phenomenal to see what is happening in the city.
Yeah, the city's coming back to life.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
That's about it for us today. And so be sure to tune in next month for the Mirror News Now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are you passionate about music? Do you ever dream of performing for an audience? Let's get this straight. We all sing in the shower and in the car, but others may recognize your unique ability. Sure, it's been years since taking those piano lessons, but that shouldn't stop you from picking it up again. At Henry Ford College, we have an amazing music program with instructors that work closely with you to build the foundation needed to achieve your artistic goals. Visit hfcc.edu for more information.
On Saturday, October 27th, WHFR proudly presents our yearly record show featuring thousands of records, CDs, videos, and other music memorabilia being sold by independent, local, and out-of-state vendors. Join us in the Student Center from 9 a.m. until 4 p.m. here on the campus of Henry Ford College. For more information, please visit whfr.fm/recordshow. Once again, Saturday, October 27th, is WHFR's next record show. See you there.
It's the WHFR Journal here at 89.3, also online at whfr.fm. Making Waves, I'm Alan Mazurek, and if you hadn't noticed, we've sort of turned over this edition of the WHFR Journal to our good friends and colleagues over at the Henry Ford College's Mirror News to talk about things that are going on in their lives as students of the college, and also things that deal with student life and what is important to them. We had a great conversation there in the first segment, and now we're going to welcome back another voice that you should be very familiar with to talk about another aspect of student life, and that is, of course, the sports community. Josh Hebert, no stranger to our microphones here at WHFR.
Yeah, thanks for having me and the rest of the Mirror News gang back here at WHFR, Alan, Susan. But I'm excited because we are actually getting into a bigger sports thing now, bringing in Emily Schroeder, who is a phenomenal volleyball player and also one of our new writers on staff with the Mirror News, and also another name you guys should remember, Dominic Stankiewicz, also now writing for the Mirror News and still playing roller hockey.
Yeah,
if I can talk for just like 10 more seconds, Dominic, I know well because he's been on the program when we've talked about the roller hockey programming program. And Emily sort of came on my radar when I saw this column that she wrote in the last edition of the Mirror News. As a parent of a student athlete, I found it truly touching, and it really resonated with me. So, yeah.
Yeah, and actually, that's the first article that we're jumping into here. It was titled The Busy Life of a Student Athlete, and being a coach of high school players, I see the struggle that they go through, but what I don't get to see is that struggle of the college student athlete. So, Emily, you want to give us a little bit of insight into that?
Well, I kind of wrote this story just because I don't think people understand, like, at the community college level that it's the same as every other division. It's a lot of hard work. We practice a ton during a week. We have games twice a week, tournaments on weekends, and that's doing school and playing volleyball at the same time, which can really get difficult. And you really have to rely on other people and have good time management and really just work hard every single day in order to get good grades and be good on the court.
You also brought in other members of the volleyball team for your story. What is some of the aspects that they say were different coming over from high school into the college level?
Well, right now on the team, we have three sophomores, and then the rest are freshmen. So we have a very young team, and that can be hard, too, because us sophomores, we know what it's like because it's our second year coming into it. So we're helping them out a lot with all the freshmen and getting them to classes and getting them to have good grades. And it's a big transformation. I mean, the freshmen say that it's just like hard going from practice and school, and it's a big change because you don't get to just like miss practice. Like in high school, you can kind of like get around it sometimes, and college just is serious and you have to be at everything. So
yeah, at college it is more of a job on top of everything. You guys have to stay in top physical shape, and I'm sure Dominic can attest to that here in a little bit. But you guys also have, I would feel, a little bit more of a closer bond than you guys did in high school, being together for a longer amount of time.
Yo, I agree. Yeah, they're like my best friends. I mean, they're all my sisters. I always will be there to help them. And in high school, it's like, yeah, we play and then we kind of get out of season. But for college, we're in it in fall and in spring because we have spring ball. So we're together all the time. And it's like a huge blessing because if I didn't have that, then I don't really know who I'd go to for things. And so it's awesome being on a team like this.
Yeah, you guys are also doing a little bit better than last season. Go into a little bit of that with just the view of you were here last season on the team, the first season that team came back. What was different between last year with the student athlete part with bringing back a program compared to this year being in its second year?
Well, bringing back a program is extremely hard. And being on it the only second year it's coming back, it's, you don't get very good recruits, and it's just hard. I mean, you have to figure out how to mesh with people and have good chemistry with them. So I think that's where we like fell last year. And this year we got a lot better recruits. We have some talented people that can definitely play at the next level after this. So I don't know. I think that overall we just really like love each other. So it's easier to bond and play better. And that's why I feel like we've won more this year and we want to make the playoffs, and we didn't last year. And that was really hard. And there's only three of us sophomores, like I said. So we don't want this to be like the end of the season, which is, it's coming up. So,
yeah. So overall, what is your record this year for the listeners, and how much of an improvement and how close to playoffs are you guys?
Well, in league right now, we're 4-4. We just had a tough loss. We went to a fifth game and lost by 2, so that was kind of devastating. But it's going to cut it close for making playoffs, but we definitely can do it.
Okay. Dominic, piggybacking off of that, you are also a student athlete. And I know you read the article too. What were some of your thoughts on what Emily route?
Emily hits it right on top of the head. It's definitely difficult to be a student athlete, even at, you know, community college level. I honestly think it'd probably be the same for university. It's really hard to, you know, focus on grades, you know, be in tip-top shape for your games or your matches. And then, you know, I'm guessing Emily has a job, I have a job. So, you know, working those three things in, it's definitely tough. But yeah, you honestly, off her like family, saying her team's like her family, it's the exact same way for us, for our hockey team. I know we got also a few new recruits that are gonna, you know, have a challenge developing into the league, but, you know, as a captain, I gotta kind of push them, you know, be their best grade wise and, for athletics. So, yeah, she definitely hits it on the head for a lot of points. So
yeah, and like I said earlier, being a coach, this also hits home seeing what you guys as student athletes are going through. And a lot of the time, the student athletes in like high school, and I'm pretty sure it's the same in college, you guys can tell me if I'm wrong here, but just seeing like the struggles that you guys go through, that will help me as a coach take that back and make sure that my kids who I coach are doing good and staying on top of things. So
yeah, definitely. 100%.
And now, Dominic, you were blessed, I should say, with the privilege of going and covering the women's basketball team who is coming back after being gone for a few years. The volleyball team was for Emily, she was one of the members that helped bring that back. You were able to talk with the head coach of the women's basketball team. So give us a little bit of insight into what she exactly said.
So talking to her, she's obviously had a lot of experience. She's played at, or she's coached University of Michigan, Dearborn, Mary Grove College, and then Eastern Illinois. Recruiting for her, she told me, I was talking to her about it because I know recruiting for roller hockey was pretty hard. Not knowing a lot of guys that play roller hockey and just ice, but she said it honestly wasn't that hard. She obviously recruited throughout high school and built a good rap sheet with most of the coaches and the players. So honestly, looking for players wasn't that hard. I didn't get an exact roster for them, but I know she's fairly confident in how they're going to do this season and standing wise. And honestly, she's kind of just developing them to be a close team, not really focusing on winning. So just building a bond with the team and then working obviously on like fundamentals to get ready for the season is really a big priority as well. So yeah, it was definitely a great, great experience talking to her. And I honestly wish her nothing but the best.
Yeah. Going into that, both of you guys are now in your second years as programs, with roller hockey being a club sport, volleyball coming back as a varsity sport. And now we are able to welcome back women's basketball. So, Emily, you are able to be in the gym when most likely these girls are coming in for practice. What have you seen on that front of everything?
I've only seen them a few times, but I noticed that every single time they're in the gym, they're working hard, which is awesome. And I obviously know what it's like to have be in a new sport and have a new program come back. So I know that it's probably kind of a little scary for them, but I know they're going to probably do great. And it's kind of funny because a girl on my team just tried out for basketball and she actually made it. So I plan to be out to their games a lot this season.
There we go. A little bit of a cross thing with women's basketball and volleyball. On top of that, Dom, what was like the big message you got out of being able to write the story with helping bring back women's basketball to HFC?
The big message out of it was, you know, bringing in a new coach, it's going to be tough. She has a lot of weight on her shoulders and a lot of pressure, obviously, which obviously means the same thing, but she's not going to let any outsiders really talk her down, whether they do bad or good. She's always just going to push forward. Hopefully her team steps up for her this season, backs her up. But honestly, that's really it. The big message. I'm not an in-depth person with women's basketball, so it's kind of tough for me to really hit something hard there. But just really that, you know, the pressure behind her as a head coach coming in new, bringing back something that's been gone for 3 years is a big, big challenge.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it, the last few coaches that have been brought in that are new head coaches with the roller hockey, Coach Fenwick, with the volleyball coach, with the basketball coach, and now the women's basketball coach. You look at it, roller hockey did good their first year. Volleyball has seen an improvement from year one to year two. You have women's basketball now coming in, and men's basketball made it pretty far in the playoffs. So that is one thing. I don't know if you guys have had the honor, like I have, to talk to Miss Taylor, but just seeing how she feels about all of these sports teams here at the college, and I know I've talked to her about your story a little bit, and she likes it. She's a big fan of what we do for the athletic department. It's just seeing how everything goes from year one to year two with you guys, and then the overall growth, that she is impressed with how the coaches have handled themselves. Did you get any feeling of how the women's basketball coach, Miss Burton, feels about Miss Taylor? Or
all I know is that Miss Taylor gives nothing but respect to the coaches, so I expect Miss Burton to get the exact same. I know she definitely helped us get the word out there for our hockey team. She worked with our coach, you know, countless times on traveling expenses and honestly just setting up a great experience for our national tournament in North Dakota. So Miss Burns obviously going to get a lot of help from her. And I mean, it's obviously great to have an athletic director that is so close and tight with the coaches for our athletic department.
Okay. Thank you guys for that stuff. We're getting close to wrapping up this portion of the journal, but we can't go anywhere without doing the picks for high school football like we always do here. We have Allen Puck taking on Anderson, and of course, if you guys want to jump in on these, you guys are more than welcome to. I'm having Allen Puck beat Southgate Anderson, punching a ticket to the playoffs for the Jaguars. I have Fortson beating Dearborn. I have Edsel Ford beating New Taylor High School. I have Woodhaven over Lincoln Park, and Roosevelt Wyandotte over Carlson, and I have Trenton over Melvindale.
What was it? Dearborn? What was it? Dearborn and Fortson?
Yeah.
I think that's going to be a close game. The Allen Park and Anderson one, I'm going to have to agree with you on that. Allen Park, I know, has a good team this year. I have a buddy that I work with that goes Allen Park and has seen the football team. So I'm pretty confident in them and the Anderson. The Melvindale game, I don't know how Melvindale is, but I thought they had a good team. I don't know. I'm not a big football
Melvindale
guy.
Melvindale has actually played every one of their games on the road because of their football stadium not being finished yet, which has been a blow to them.
Okay, so with you giving me that kind of detail, I think they'll take the loss there then.
You have Carlson losing?
Yes.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Who are they playing?
Wyandotte.
No, oh, no way. Wyandotte will beat them for sure.
No, they're playing Roosevelt.
Wyandotte Roosevelt.
Oh, that is
Oh,
them.
My
yeah.
goodness.
I didn't
no,
know
Wyandotte
that.
Will definitely beat Carlson.
100%. Yeah, homecoming game.
I don't think so.
Wyandotte's going to be amped up. I think they
the atmosphere there is going to be ridiculous.
I think it's seven in a row that Wyandotte has beaten Carlson, but yeah, I could be wrong.
Emily thinks otherwise. Emily, this time,
well,
though.
If they win, it's on me, guys.
Yeah.
We'll have that the next time we are on air with the picks for that, but that's pretty bold out there, Emily.
Thank you.
Yeah,
I got to do it sometimes.
That's
you
risky.
Know?
Hey, do what you got to do.
Yeah. Exactly.
You've been listening to the Mirror News edition of the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek, along with Susan McGraw. Thanks to all of our students who have been able to contribute to this edition of the program to share their voices with you and share their thoughts, their opinions, and and let you know everything that they're doing as students, but also as journalists for our campus newspaper, the Mirror News. It's been so great to have all of you here for this hour.
Thank you, Alan.
Thank you.
All right, stay tuned. We've got Blues coming up next. We're going to take a trip down Highway 61 with Kitty Love this Friday afternoon here on WHFR 89.3 FM and also online at WHFR.FM, the station making waves.
Hi, this is your girl, Blues Lady Champagne, the Beast of the Blues from WHFR 89.3 Dearborn. You want the blues? Come on and get you some every Friday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. Playing some of the latest and the greatest local and national artists from all over the world. Live interviews with special guests, live performances in the studio, live stream on your internet. www.whfr.fm. Tune it in every Friday night from 10 p.m. to 12 a.m. The station is making waves on your radio. WHFR 89.3 Dearborn, with your host, the Beast of the Blues, Lady Champagne. Turn your ears on, come on and take a ride in the driver's seat. I'm getting ready to take you for a ride on the blues. Tune it in. Come on, see you there.
Welcome back, and thanks for being with us on this edition of the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. It's been so great to spend this hour with you and all of our students from the Mirror News here at Henry Ford College as we look at their views and opinions. And as always, whenever we have guests on this program, the views and opinions that are expressed are not necessarily those of us here at WHFR, the licensee Henry Ford College, or its Board of Trustees, but we think it's an important opportunity to give them their voice and help them learn how to present their arguments and their thoughts to an audience, especially in a journalistic capacity, which is, kind of my day job here at Henry Ford College. So we do hope you enjoyed it, and we certainly do hope to have them back next month to talk about the issues and topics that they discuss in next month's edition of the Mirror News here at Henry Ford College. A couple of other things we want to tell you that are coming up sometime in the immediate future here at Henry Ford College. This is an event that's taking place coming up on October 16th, so that's next Tuesday evening. It is a FAFSA completion night, and if you're a parent or a student, you certainly understand the needing to fill out the FAFSA form every year. So this is starts this coming Tuesday, 6 o'clock, here at Henry Ford College at the Welcome Center, and there will be other events every single Tuesday at 6 o'clock all the way through November 7th. And it's an opportunity to complete your FAFSA file on campus with assistance from financial aid experts who are, fluent in financial aid literacy and helping you complete the free application for federal student aid and setting up your federal student aid ID. Again, it takes place this coming Tuesday, October 16th, and then, it's Wednesday, October 24th, and Wednesday, November 7th, all of those from 6 to 7 p.m., at the Welcome Center here at Henry Ford College, and seating is limited, so if you would like to reserve a place at it, you can visit hfcc.edu. Other things coming up in the next week or so, we have our 7th Annual Career Expo taking place here on campus. That's going to take place on Thursday, October 18th. From 2 to 4 p.m. in the Athletic Memorial Building, Building H here on the HFC campus. HFC Career Services will present the 7th Annual Career Expo this coming Thursday from 2 to 4 p.m. They're expecting more than 100 employers to attend the expo, and there is a long list of those who we expect to have here, more than I can name here without running out of breath. And, of course, more employers are being added pretty much by the day. Anyway, for questions regarding the Employment Expo, you can call HFC's Career Services office at 313-845-9618.
That's 313-845-9618. And then, of course, we've got the big, well, I want to say the big kahuna, but we'll say the big cavalhuna, and that is the presidential investiture, which is taking place this coming Thursday for new, the incoming president of Henry Ford College, President Russell Cavalhuna, J.D., who is going to be conferred with the authority of the office of president of the college. It usually takes place sometime during the president's first year in office, and it's a public opportunity to come together, celebrate the college, especially in this, our 80th year, and the community which we serve, and welcome in what we expect and hope will be a wonderful new era of leadership and vision. It will take place this coming Thursday, October 18th, from 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. The formal program begins with a choral performance at 5:50 p.m. Remarks begin at 6 o'clock. It's going to take place at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center in Dearborn. That's right there on Michigan Avenue, just west of Greenfield. Recommended attire is business or semi-formal, so, you know, I think you got that figured out. Anyway, RSVP is requested if you plan on attending the event. There is an online RSVP form at hfcc.edu, or you can call 313-845-6455 and talk to Jennifer Chapman, who will answer questions and also take your reservations there. Once again, it's 313-845-6455, or you can get all of the information at hfcc.edu. Event program and speakers include Dearborn Mayor O'Reilly, also U.S. Congresswoman Debbie Dingell. We'll have U.S. Magistrate Green, the chair of the HFC Board of Trustees, Michael Mead, and of course, we expect to hear from the new president, Cavalhuna, here from Henry Ford College at that event, which takes place again Thursday evening at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, 4:30 to 7:30 p.m. Thanks for being with us for this edition of the WHFR Journal. I'm Alan Mazurek. We hope that you will stay with us and enjoy the rest of our afternoon's programming here on the station Making Waves.
Listener-supported, non-commercial radio from the campus of Henry Ford College. This is WHFR Dearborn, featuring local and independent artists. Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Michael Intiman, and I host a show every Sunday called Noise Pollution, where we hang out and listen to some music that will help you relax and think about other times you were hanging out and relaxing with friends. We listen to everything from live music to jam bands and progressive rock while talking about who's on tour or what tour that song just came from. That's every Sunday from 1 p.m. to 3 on the only station that's making waves, WHFR. I think.
Please join WHFR.FM 89.3 for blues music on Highway 61, Friday 2 till 4 p.m. Each week, DJ Kitty Love brings the best in new blues releases in Detroit blues to Henry Ford College Radio, WHFR.